El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do a whole bunch of shows. Joining me today, he is one of the owners and founders of the Small Beans Podcast Network. We also used to work together at a website that shall remain nameless. And he's been on this podcast a bunch of times, and he's on this podcast again today. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Swain. Also joining me, he is one of the funniest comics walking the goddamn planet today. If you have a chance to see him tell jokes when he's in your area, you should definitely do it. Or, if nothing else, just listen to him on this podcast right now today. Ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of the show, Dave Waite. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. And boy, do we have a lineup today. Joining me as co-host was supposed to be Andy Sell. Hopefully Andy Sell is okay. It's creepy that on the horror movie episode that was supposed to promote his horror movie podcast on the network, Andy's missing.
He really M. Night Shyamalan this
thing. That was Dave Waite. Dave, how have you been? It's been a while since you've been on. Yeah, you haven't been to the new studio yet.
I haven't been to the new location. It's nice. There's the parking's easier out here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also here today, Michael Swaim. How the hell are you doing, man?
So good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm great.
What have you been up to since the last time you were on?
Surviving and
The hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life. When all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. It's about to get really intense. I play this myself on the guitar. Not easy to do while also playing drums. There it is. I never get tired of doing that.
What, interrupting people?
Yeah. That's how we start every episode.
We're playing that riff.
And no matter how many times people are on this podcast, they always sort of forget that we do that.
I forgot completely.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's happening? Yeah. And then I was like, his name's Swaim?
Yeah, I like to alienate the guests right off the bat. Anyway, how are you doing?
I don't want to say now.
I know, you feel betrayed.
Much worse, yeah. I had some fucking bit about living in the mountains just two blocks north of here, but it's ruined now, frankly.
So we're talking about horror movies today, and specifically we're talking about the idea that Trump's America is producing better horror movies.
Better. That's the contention specifically, yeah.
Well, that was, you heard that a lot in the run-up to the election where people would be like, oh man, just imagine all the punk songs we'll get if Trump's elected. And it's like, I don't care. I don't want punk songs. I want Trump to not win. Mm-hmm. But he won, and I feel like those punk songs haven't really materialized.
Yeah, I mean, it's like music, like really in the 60s and 70s were like, fuck the man. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, like, I don't know what happened. The record labels or the music business. I mean, when they like destroyed like the Dixie Chicks and they, you
they
know,
did, yeah.
And then people are like, I don't want to get, you know, I got a nice house. I don't want to fucking Dixie Chicks my shit, you know, even though those ladies all have a ton of money, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, like, yeah, music, they're like, nobody seems to step out of line or the songs don't break through the ether, or maybe I'm just not listening. I think like rap music probably is saying stuff
a little,
but I don't listen.
I mean, Kendrick's saying shit.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar.
Butterfly is a masterpiece, but I agree that there's definitely a trend of, and I don't know, because you always wonder, like, chicken or the egg, is it that that's what the audience wants now because we're just so troubled we just want distractions? I don't know. But definitely we're in an era of, and it's been there before, the 80s was this, and then the 90s was like the pendulum swung back. But like the 80s and today, the most popular music is Let's dance. We're young. Everything's great. Have you tried this pill? It's a good pill. Let's keep dancing. Touch my face. Everything's good.
I don't doubt, in some part, because of record labels not wanting to alienate Trump. Like that, I just read an article this morning about the creator of Black-ish is leaving ABC for Netflix. His claim was, we wanted to air this kind of like anti-Trump episode and they wouldn't let us. And ABC just came right out and said, yeah, we've been cultivating Trump supporters as a potential fan base and we didn't want to alienate them. So he went somewhere where they'll let him do that. And it's like, that's troubling.
Well, I think it's...
How many Trump supporters are watching Black-ish?
That's the whole thing. Like, none of them were going to see
but
it.
But they have a global view. Some executive has a global view of it. You know, ABC is like, oh, but the whole brand. I'm watching the whole brand.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel is very anti-Trump.
And... Yeah.
CABC?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ABC.
Yeah, he's allowed to. Late night hosts seem to have some kind of special immunity.
Well, I think.
Right.
Although Colbert's really mellowed out.
I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
But Colbert, I think what shot him over Jimmy Fallon and Kimmel was that he became like the voice of like the resistance for a little bit or something like that.
Yeah, although Freakonomics, I think, but maybe not. Someone, I listen to a lot of podcasts, did a great podcast about a new study that shows that Trump supporters watching the Colbert Report believe genuinely that the character is real and that Colbert used liberal media and like stealthed his way in with this, like his real beliefs. And liberals who watch it believe, no, it's obviously satire.
Yeah, but now his
liberal.
Regular show is him. It's not the-
true. No, I agree. Yeah. But I'm just saying the point is like it's harder than you think to change people's minds if they're done. Like
but,
if they're in.
But he
and
has
we've
a
reached a point where we're so two camps. That I don't know how businesses are going to react because it's like, okay, we want to produce a show that's four quadrant. Well, what does that mean? These two quadrants fucking hate everything that each other stands for. Well, we still want to somehow make content that they both will pay for. That's difficult.
But it seems to be working with horror movies.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a lot of horror movies. I noticed in like action movies, like, the white guy is the bad guy now. I don't know if you've noticed that. There was like a Mission Impossible, and there was another. I can't remember the
I'm
other.
Fine with that.
Feels historically accurate,
but like it was the Equalizer 2.
Oh,
which is not that good. But
I haven't seen it.
But the Equalizer 2 is like he goes to war like versus his ex CIA buddies because like they're like it doesn't. It's all fixed. It's all. So we're
deep
just,
state. We're bad, idiot. We fucked you. Do you not? Oh no, he's killing us.
Yeah, but they're like, they just like, ah, we're mercenaries. Like, we were killing people for the U.S. and now we're just killing people for like crime lords.
We didn't believe what you believe in. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're already like, we're killers.
And yeah.
Like I couldn't really understand like the bad guys. Like, what was his motivation? Like,
right.
Did he just like fucking with you? Like, he's just like, I did this all because fuck it.
Yeah, he seemed like just a rogue agent, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, but like he wanted to.
But not really serving. I don't remember, was he serving really, a particular government?
I think he wanted to like bring down all governments. Or
he just wants to raise shit to the ground.
Yeah.
Purge, if you will.
So you haven't seen any of the Purge movies even?
I've seen all the Purge ones except the newest one.
Yeah. The newest one I like a lot.
Wait, is Election Year the newest? Or is there one newer?
There's one now.
I'm on Election
The year. Most recent one, confusingly enough, is called The First Purge.
That's right. I haven't seen that yet.
So when people...
I'm aware of it, though.
People have probably asked you if you've seen The First Purge, and you were
and
like,
you
sure.
Go, yeah, The
Ethan
Purge.
Hawk.
Ethan Hawke, yeah.
Yeah, of course I've seen
House that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it tried to protect them.
Yeah, that's. I always say this about The Purge franchise. They released those first two movies in the wrong order. That first
Agreed.
One... We should like they this they offer up this insane premise of 12 hours of unbridled
and then
chaos
you don't see
the in
the streets.
Streets.
It's just a home invasion
and then it's just
movie.
In someone's house.
Whereas that's so
I think they had to make that first one to pay for the other one.
Agreed. But imagine how much classier or like ballsier it would have seemed to flip it because you're like, you gave us what you promised, chaos in the streets, and then they're like, guess what? For number two, we're fucking taking it a whole different direction. Intimate, small.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's a great artistic decision instead of, well, they used that one to finance that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of The Purge, Trump's next, his next campaign slogan is literally taken from the second Purge movie.
Literally is a tricky word.
It's
literally identical to, Do we have evidence that he saw it in that and was like, I like that slogan?
Give me a Diet Coke. I'm watching The Purge.
That I don't know. So now okay. It's word for word
the
in
same
the
slogan,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't, was it in the second movie or was it in, no, it's in The Purge election
it's
year.
It's in election year.
Yeah. It's one of the campaign slogans in election year, which is keep America great.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to put it on green hats. So Now we can't wear those colored hats anymore either.
What? Is this his one nod to the environment? Like, why? What does that mean?
No idea why they're going to be green this
green
time.
Green has no political, like,
probably a Pepe
capital.
The Frog reference or some
or
shit.
Or just I'm rich, biatch? Like,
yeah.
Is it just
yeah.
money?
Yeah, they're going to be literally made of money. And I do mean literally that time. And so he registered it back in 2017. Before he was even inaugurated, he registered his 2020 campaign slogan, which is Keep America Great. And someone else a few weeks before that registered Keep Our America Great. And that sounds so bad.
But they're like, Trump might go for that. I could see that.
Yeah, that's what this guy.
Keep America Great. It rolls off the tongue.
Keep Our America Great. It was a guy named Patrick Goux, G-O-U-X, who was a Trump supporter. This is his reasoning for filing for that trademark. I filed it so no liberal asshole could file it, and I was going to donate it to the Trump campaign for a dollar and a handshake.
And I like how your notes, die in a trash fire, sir.
That's what I added below. Well, yeah.
Also,
what a dumb, hey, rich guy, hey, you want me to just, that's why poor people stay fucking poor. I want to give something to a rich guy that's a total huckster and a con man.
Just to salute him and be like, I am of this movement.
Right.
Just on hat design alone, people should have been like, this is a terrible hat.
No, but you're right. Petey Goo could have been like, I mean, I'll take $5,000 for it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
Also,
why don't you just start your own racist hat business?
That's the thing, is the only thing he added to what it would so obviously be, which is Keep America Great, is Our, which is a racist dog whistle. Like, if you analyze it at all. The only thing he added is like, let's keep it in the family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Keep Our America Great.
Underlined, Our. Ours in white font with like a burning cross in front of it. See, now you like the design. You're like, it's a little flashier. I like it.
And yeah, they... So that's his next campaign slogan. That's what we're going to be hearing. So it's an interesting tie in to what we're talking about. So one of the articles I have in the notes, it's an article from March 2017 where they're kind of speculating what impact Trump is going to have on horror movies. They mention The Purge and Get Out and also Don't Breathe. Did anyone see Don't Breathe?
Several times. I enjoyed it.
It doesn't feel like a Trump-related thing.
It doesn't
to
feel
me.
Politically slanted in
what
any
about
way.
That? I didn't see it, but the movie Green Room, where like the band...
Right.
Yeah.
That would movie. Be...
I mean, that's anti-fascist all the way, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Breathe could be about how the elderly blind of our country can take care of themselves, so we don't need a welfare social security system.
The guy was a veteran. I remember that. He was a veteran.
And he kicked fucking ass.
And I think
Semper Fi.
I think the government didn't treat him well when he he came back home. But I think they're definitely right about The Purge and Get Out. Those do feel like probably the first shots in the Trump era horror movie.
But I even wonder if Get Out was a reaction to Trump when so many of the themes are like, yeah, well, racism predates Trump, and it's more of a thesis on that.
Yeah, it was.
I think Get Out is more a dig at like super woke white people.
Just America, right. How it's been for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more, I think it probably just came at the right time.
Yeah.
Because Trump was campaigning. So yeah, I mean, it feels like it came at the right time because I believe he was campaigning by then.
Mm-hmm.
Or had he been elected? When did Get Out? It came out in January.
I can't connect those dots for you. Yeah, I don't have it.
Yeah, I don't remember what year, but I believe it was 2017. When it came out. So he might have just been elected, but obviously hadn't been while the movie was being made. But it seems like Blumhouse is the one, if anyone's really addressing the Trump administration in a lot of their work right now, it's Blumhouse.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, Hereditary is the last big splash horror movie. I don't see anything political there per se either.
No.
I'm trying.
But they've been behind Get Out and all the Purge movies.
Purge is obvious, like on the surface, yeah.
And with horror movies, I think it's always kind of been that horror movies were at least a little political. Mm-hmm. And if not just political, like they addressed a lot of social issues, even if it was from a weird, like super conservative viewpoint where like in slasher movies, the person who has sex gets murdered. The person doing drugs always gets murdered.
Yeah, that's a very, And weirdly, it's like conservative groups would like protest that movie, but that movie is embracing family values.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, she showed her tits. That's why she got stabbed through the spine.
And I haven't seen it in a long time, but one of these articles we read mentioned that Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is actually like addressing homophobia, which
in from which angle? Pro or con?
Like
boo.
Yeah.
I had a gay dream.
But I really need to see that movie again. I don't remember. Anyway, back to Blumhouse. They were actually hired by the Trump administration at one point. Jared Kushner hired Blumhouse's PR guy to do PR for the Trump administration, which that feels so blatant. Like it just feels like an obvious, hey, the Purge is going to be real soon. Buckle up.
It's weird, though. Like, what? I don't see. Yeah, it's perfect for comedians. But what is Trump's team or whoever made that decision thinking? Like, we want sort of the same angle you bring to your movies about eviscerations and cannibalism. We think that's the right vibe. Like, that mind is right to represent us in the marketplace
of
ideas.
They're already in the business of selling terrible, scary things. So why not?
That's a good
you
point.
Nailed it. It's probably them sitting down going like, look, what's our angle? Be scared of foreigners. Be scared of this. Be scared of that. So what are we going to start seeing? Fucking like campaign ads that are like just, I don't know, like World War Z style immigrants flooding over the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, like, this must be stopped.
That's why I was so against the new Sicario movie. Because
it stirs that pot.
It felt like just anti-immigration propaganda that we don't need right now.
Although I give them the benefit of the doubt that when the team started, because the first Sicario was quite a while ago and he must have been thinking about it even before that.
Yeah.
He probably just thought the gang world of northern Mexico is a great vehicle for a thriller that's never been done and not thought about it beyond that. I give him that. But by the time you're making the sequel and it's 12 years later, it really feels like you're like, be scared of Mexicans. They fucking kill everyone.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
It's awesome. This Mexican kills everyone.
I don't doubt that it's a really good movie. The first Sicario was really good, too. I thought about while I was putting the notes together for this is horror movies in the 90s, like under the Clinton administration, in that weird time in the country where it felt like we didn't really have an enemy, but we needed one. Horror movies really changed during that time. To more of a, like, it was all parodies of horror movies, basically.
Well, they were, like real meta.
Yeah, like Scream and shit like that.
Is Lost Boys late 80s?
Yeah, that's 80s.
Yeah, Lost Boys
I'm bad 80s. At time. Like, I'm bad at remembering what decade shit is from,
Yeah.
Can anyone, like, just spew a bunch of 90, emblematic 90s horror movies so I know what we're talking about?
Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay, yeah.
Final Destination.
Launched in the 90s,
Right.
Was 7 in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of an anomaly because it's, like, a good film. It's not,
classic. 7 is amazing.
It's not popcorn horror,
Right.
It's thriller. Put that
I don't consider I don't consider that a horror movie.
Really?
I don't really consider Silence of the Lambs
like
a
really
a
dark
movie.
Whodunit.
Yeah, it's like
more
a
than that. Yeah.
Psychological thriller. Did anyone see It Comes at Night?
Yes, and I fucking love it.
I did not like it.
I've seen it 5 times.
Wow. That is labeled as one of the next generation of movies that sort of speak to the Trump administration. There's also a movie called The House That Jack Built.
So excited.
That is supposed to be somewhat Trump-related. Matt Dillon plays a serial killer in it, and he is wearing a red hat the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And it's a Lars von Trier movie, so people were disgusted and walked out when it was...
Par for the course.
Yeah. Like, if you've seen any Lars von Trier movie...
I don't know. What's he done?
He did Antichrist.
Antichrist is my favorite. It feels like the most important.
Yeah.
But he also did Nymphomaniac.
Nymphomaniac 1 and 2.
And 2.
They're both really good movies. and you get to see a lot of fucking. So
he's a good filmmaker. That's objective. It turns out he might be like a sadistic creep in real life, and that sucks, obviously.
Right.
Like, I would love for someone to be able to make hardcore, like, the worst, most disturbing films, and it just be their imagination. Is that not possible? Can
it
you
seems
just imagine
like it's not,
fucked
yeah.
up shit? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to know what's going on at Eli Roth's place.
Right. Or, like, with the whole Louis C.K. thing, I was like, I thought those were just jokes. Did yeah. you have to be really doing it? Couldn't right. you just have thought of it?
Eli Roth is directing a house with a clock in the walls.
Really? That Jack Black billboard
yeah.
I see that looks
Which
wacky as shit?
I hope that just turns out to be a total gore fest.
It's just
Jack Black
getting
fucking murdering
ball
kids.
Ball tortured for 2 hours.
The clock killed me.
That would be amazing. But yeah, I'm interested to see the house that Jack built.
I think Lars von Trier always does a very clear metaphor, and I'm just going to call it from the trailer. I want to say, I've been trying to find this. It hasn't leaked. It's not out yet. It's hard to find.
Right.
From the trailer, just in case I'm right, I got to predict. I think this is the one that's about himself as a filmmaker. And I'm mainly keying off the line in the trailer and the premises. He keeps expecting to be caught, but like, I just keep doing this shit and there's no consequences. And I love the idea that that's him saying, I keep making these offensive movies and it seems fine, like nothing happens. Because how amazing that this movie's getting released as people are finally like, also, didn't you touch that lady inappropriately?
Right.
Like, there are going to be consequences.
I mean, Louis C.K. made that weird, that creepy movie. That's what set it off. Like, obviously that stuff would have came, but like, that stuff came out right before that creepy movie.
Oh, you're talking I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that movie's supposed to come out, and that's when people are like, you can't make that movie.
Have you
Fuck
seen
you.
It? Have you
I
seen
haven't
it?
Seen it.
We no. covered it. It's like goddamn thinly veiled confessions of like, I believe he feels tortured inside, because this fucking movie is him just being like, yeah, I lust after my daughter and her, and I'm an asshole, and it's real. Like, I know Oof. This is a movie, but it's real. Like, that's the strong impression you get.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Did it get, it got released eventually, or?
It got leaked. You can just find it online. Yeah.
Yeah, because I did watch, controversially enough, Billionaire Boys Club last week with Kevin Spacey.
Box office of like $312. 9%
on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's the thing. Really good movie.
Really?
We've just agreed to like
because
ostracize
Kevin,
it. Yeah.
Which, I know this is a weird thing to say, but it kind of sucks for like Emma Roberts, who's fucking amazing in that movie. Like, it's a fun movie with a good cast.
And the crew, everyone always forgets the whole crew that works
and no
on
one's,
Roseanne and
no
then
one's,
has to quit. Yeah.
No one's going to watch this, so I don't mind saying it. Kevin Spacey dies like a third of the way through. So it's mostly not Kevin Spacey.
I'll ask you an even more charged question, because he used to be genuinely my favorite actor for quite a period. Is he really good?
He's pretty
it?
Good in it. Yeah.
God damn it. Like, don't. Why can't people's insides be concordant with their outsides?
Right.
I get like separate. I get like, I'm like, whatever, everybody. Not everybody.
I mean, it's like, it's not like that's the first movie I've watched where I had to go acknowledge that the person I'm watching.
Forget it, Adam.
Has
it's
done
Chinatown.
Terrible things, yeah.
I really feel like, yes, I can totally separate it, especially when they're dead. Like, I understand that the thing that came out of it is a thing, and it stands on its own as an artistic artifact.
So what you're saying is Kevin Spacey dying. Needs to be killed.
Basically, because while they're still alive, there's a difference between, like, if someone could guarantee his victims were going to find some kind of justice and he wouldn't benefit, I could watch Billionaire's Boy Club.
Right.
Which is why I felt okay downloading a leaked copy of I Love You, Daddy to trash Louis C.K. on our show.
Sure.
Because it's, I can totally separate the art from the creator, but while the creator's still benefiting, I don't want them to benefit from their crimes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm probably going to pirate the house that Jack built and enjoy it.
To hear you describe it as a man just getting away with things time and again, that to me would kind of make it sort of a
like Trump.
Statement about the Trump administration.
I feel like, I was talking about this in therapy, but I feel like, you know, everybody, there's like a balance and injustice right now, like, because Trump has gotten away with everything. Anybody that's below Trump is going down, because it's like, when you can't topple the king, they're like, well, you gotta go. Everybody's
right.
gotta, everybody's
anyone
gotta,
we can get
anybody we can get, because people are like, we can't get this guy. Fuck everybody.
But everything's fucked, so fuck you, fuck you. And you're cool, like, fuck you. Yeah.
It's not like the people don't deserve it, but it's like people are like, fuck everything. You know, like, I don't know, would this level of, would this be the same level? But there's like a, there's like a, the scales of justice are in balance, so people are like, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel that way. It's a weird time to be alive, man.
It's going to be historically notable for sure. And I think in my lifetime, this is the first time period that feels obviously historically notable. Like, we were lucky to live through a period where, like, yeah, obviously 9/11's huge. That will be historically notable. The entire fallout of that, war in Afghanistan and Iraq, but...
Sorry, I'm being rude. I didn't have the 9/11
one. Oh, thank you. This is the first time, I guess, I've been old enough to process, like, oh... Nothing protects you from, like, you're not necessarily going to live in an uneventful time. You right. could live through the time where America ends. Like, there's nothing protecting you from that.
Yeah, and it
shit
does,
can get crazy. History's happening, bitches.
Yeah, it does. It does feel that way. And if not for the prospect of so many people dying, it would almost be an exciting time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, if not for all the death that will follow, it's really interesting to see where this fucking country's going.
And surprising, you like... Oh, wow, there's more Nazis than I thought. Like, we're having interesting revelations about ourselves.
Just left and right.
I thought they mostly died after Indiana Jones made it seem not cool to be a Nazi.
Yeah, for all we know, in a few years, it could be like the Trump administration literally making the horror movies, like the Nazis made all their movies in Nazi Germany.
I mean, I just don't have faith that they can... I mean, they're doing some terrible stuff, but, I mean, the one thing is that his incompetence keeps him from doing all the... terrible stuff.
I don't know. He's done some terrible stuff.
The people around him, the people around him are like doing the terrible. Like he is barely.
Are they
doing
the terrible stuff? Or are they trying to stop him from
suggesting
doing terrible stuff? Because there's also
they have their own agenda of terrible shit they want.
Right. Like Scott Pruitt wanted to fuck the environment before Trump didn't whisper that in his ear. He just chose to give him free reign.
And I've said this a couple times before. My worry with that New York Times op-ed where they're like, now Trump is doing some good things. They don't really specify what the good and bad things he's doing. Mm-hmm. So for all we know, they could be like, man, he really needs to be deporting these immigrants a little bit
or
faster.
Or like, he didn't launch a nuke yet. Did you notice? Good job. Attaboy.
Yeah.
It's also just this whole administration has pushed us into a new historical political sphere where you're like, oh, I thought if you had an illegitimate child and were laundering money with enemies of the state, you had to like bust ass to do that very secretly.
Right.
It's totally making you be like, oh, maybe there isn't the law. I didn't realize that it was that fragile. Yeah. If you're the president, like we had that movie Absolute Power where the president murders some woman and they're like, well, everything's in chaos now. I think Trump could publicly murder someone and things would not change radically.
Yeah. I mean, he said that when he was campaigning.
And it's not fully inaccurate. Like, it comes from a real place.
Who do we think it's going to be? My money is on Hillary Clinton.
You guys.
He's pretty obsessed.
I feel like the tide is turning. I watched.
If he's going to kill Feinstein, now's the time.
But like.
Right.
Bill, like his approval rating is starting to fall.
Not among Republicans who voted for him. It's higher than ever.
Nah, well, but there's less Republicans now. That's the thing. And his approval rating is starting to dip over the past couple weeks because of all the bad news. And, like, I was watching Bill Maher, and he had a good point that Bill Maher was like, he's ran out of material. He's doing the same act, and people are like...
I think it's going to be fuck brown people, honestly. I think he'll lean into that.
It's going to be... But
are you scared of him, like me?
It's going to be fuck brown people... But it's going to be with a strong push to get black people on board with fuck brown people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really the racial divide he's looking to stoke when it comes
he wants to win
to
black
immigration.
Americans.
He wants to win.
Oh, man. Well, he's killing it so far with the Kaepernick and the LeBron James.
Right,
shit,
exactly.
It's just slaying.
But he's also got prison reform. Like, if he does any kind of mass prison reform thing, that's going to fucking resonate.
Ooh, especially when, like, the one thing that keeps people I know who are so anti-Trump, of course, and would have voted for Hillary, their sticking point is usually like, yeah, but she really fucked up on the mass incarceration tip.
She did. Yeah.
And it would be so terrible. It's almost like Ender's Game where you're like, oh, he's going to fix it. The worst guy in the world gets to do the good thing. Yeah,
that's the whole thing. And like, he didn't say he's going to win 95% of the black vote in 2020 for no reason. Like, he said that, and he's got plans. Like, all of his immigration plans. The guy who wrote his, I've said this so many times on the podcast, I apologize, people. The guy who wrote his, basically is the architect of his immigration platform that was on his website all through his campaign, is a guy named Peter Kersenow.
Papa John.
No, it's a guy named Peter Kersenow who's a black dude. His father is a Russian immigrant who escaped Cold War Soviet Union.
It's like perfectly positioned for right. this, yeah.
And his entire stance is illegal immigration hurts black males more than anyone else. And that if we can kind of reverse the tide of illegal immigration, then we'll be able to get jobs into black communities. And if you read Trump's, if you read Trump's early, or go read my Cracked article, the first Cracked article I wrote about Trump. There's, yeah, fuck him. There's screenshots in there of bits and pieces of his campaign stuff. And it was all about moving black people from high crime, high poverty areas and out into other areas somehow. He had a refugee program for inner city children as one of his campaign
ideas. He's just trying to speed up gentrification. Why don't you move out to the suburbs where there aren't no...
I do think that's kind of it. I think he wants to clear out those areas through, one, moving kids who... maybe don't have parents or being raised by siblings, moving them to better situations, and then also imposing mandatory minimums for gun crimes, which is another thing he pointed at doing in his early campaign stuff.
The default position for people who have always been rich and now are like tied in politically seems to always be pit all the small oppressed right. groups against one another. So, like, I don't even think that happens consciously. It's like the end result of, well, how would this system defend itself when the jig is up and everyone knows it's corrupt and full of shit? Basically, the only real option is, look over there. That guy said you're a prick. Like, you guys should fight.
Yeah. Let's go through this last article quick. This is from March 2017. It's a Mashable article called Horror Movie Rules as a Trump Survival Tactic. Ooh. On Mashable.com, written by Heather Dockray. These are horror movie rules that allegedly apply to Trump. Just when you think the bad guy is gone for good, he comes back again and again, each time a little bit uglier. I'm not going to say fugglier. Come on. I'm a goddamn adult. I think that I don't know that that necessarily. Trump's not gone. He hasn't gone anywhere.
But every time we're like, we got him. Every time there's like a big story, like that would sink any other politician ever.
Oh, for sure.
And it has, like, other politicians been sunk.
Totally.
And then we got him. But he's
illegitimate,
like,
kid with a porn star. It's funny because, like, I don't care that Bill Clinton got blown. And I don't care that if the president had an illegitimate daughter, if it doesn't affect their governing personally.
Right.
But, like, where's the consistency?
Yeah, that's Bill Clinton got impeached over that shit.
Over a blowjob. And if you're familiar with blowjobs, from, like, traditionally they do not produce a life that has to, like, exist for 60 to 80 years.
but coming from, like, the, you know, the religious right and the ones that want to, like, rule our lives with their moral bullshit, and then they're like, yeah, but that's fine.
It's crazy, like, to have
whatever.
Seen.
Whatever.
Because I know humans can rationalize a lot, but I really thought, like, the guy who runs the mega church made out of steel, I really thought he had locked in, you know? But to see, like, you've seen so many major evangelical preachers go, like, well, God forgives him, so... And you're like,
yeah,
that's so out of character, so fast, amazing.
Yeah.
Truly impressive malleability for someone who cannot let go of the idea of a magic person in the sky. Like, you're really flexible on this shit.
Yeah. Rule number two, never split up and try to fight the killer alone. That I buy, because the left is very fractured right now in terms of who...
I think that's problematic that you said that and we're enemies now.
That makes sense.
If I'm going to make my own podcast.
Boycott the Small Beans Network, please.
No.
And me and Swaim are going to have a Twitter war.
Swaim.
right now, like, every person who says they're running for president on the left, I'm just like, ugh, not you. Because so far it's been like Joe Biden, John Kerry, Oscar De La Hoya.
Pass, hard passes. The people who are going to vote liberal are ready for really liberal people, I agree, right. Who are like, yeah, you can jump ahead in the line if your platform's like fresh and exciting. We're ready for some new shit.
You got to be likable, dog. That's
you got to be likable.
And then like sometimes I hear like they were like, that Andrew Cuomo wants to run from New York. And I'm like, that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's a piece of
and
shit.
And nobody wants it. And he's like, is he like a, he's like a moderate at best. Right.
And I've already seen 15 YouTube videos of Joe Biden groping women. Like, that will be an issue. They're already out there.
Yeah.
And it'll be old. Yeah. I mean, just the visual of TV. If you get a young guy, or a young woman, right. Like somebody out there fucking playing basketball, doing some fucking athletic
shit. We need another Obama, basically.
Or Kennedy, somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Like athletic shit. And then you got up, like on TV, you see like Trump is all like barely, he can't say sentences sometimes and shit. And you get somebody young and fresh.
Kennedy got away with having sex with sex symbols and everyone was like, we know, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, really, no one really gave a shit when Kennedy was
press was
it.
Very different back then.
Yeah, the press was different. Yeah.
He's just like passing out cigars. They're like, congratulations, Mr. President, we'll leave you alone.
Let's see, another rule. If you feel like there's a secret evil lurking inside a big white house, you're right. Yeah, okay. Don't let anyone tell you that there's nothing to be scared about. Hell yeah to that. Because I remember after Trump got elected, there was at least one article on this website that I won't even name anymore, where this white dude, obviously, wrote this article and was like, come on, there's really nothing to be scared of just because Trump's president now. And it's like, that's the same person who was telling you Trump's never going to win.
Yeah, right.
Like, don't listen to that fucking voice right now, please. And you heard that a lot. Like, there were a lot of mostly white dudes who are like, there's no reason to worry now that Trump's in office.
Like, yeah, you have more layers of shelter around you that make you able to feel that way. Yeah. Because in reality, like, one of the ways I do believe white privilege is real and feel it is that no matter who's president, doesn't affect me. But I know that it affects millions of other people.
Right.
Like, I have the intense privilege that I found a niche and it's paying the bills and really, none of this actually literally affects my day-to-day other than my knowledge that it's affecting millions of my like co-country people.
The biggest way Trump has impacted me personally
directly in your actual life,
is that it's a really good time for me to incorporate Unpops as a business.
Uh-huh,
like, that's literally been the main impact. That and I presumably have friends with family members who are probably facing deportation right now. Also that.
Or maybe at the most, I have slightly more or less money depending on what tax cut does or doesn't go through, but it doesn't actually affect my life.
Right.
Hey, man, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean someone's not trying to grab you by the pussy. You know?
Exactly. It's from a Nirvana song.
That's what In Utero was about. Really getting deep in there.
All right, we're at 54 minutes. Let's get to. Does anyone have anything else? Any last thoughts to add on Trump and horror movies before we get to comments?
I just think that list is fairly weak and could be funnier.
Yeah,
all I'm going to do is use my precious time to throw shade at a writer I don't know.
Yeah, I mean the bullet points were good, but I didn't read the whole article. The whole you'll have to go read.
Don't let yourself type fugly in a non-ironic way in 2018 as a comedian.
It's an excellent point. All right, let's get to comments.
That point is sick. That point was tight.
It's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few shows.
Stupid fucking comments.
And respond to them personally.
Personally.
Fade it out, Brett. Good job. Brett's still on the podcast. He just doesn't talk anymore.
He slowly dampens the piano keys with like a towel.
Right.
Takes a lot of technique.
Let's read comments from the last episode, which was called Things You Probably Forgot About 9/11. Does everyone know the first responder to die on 9/11 was hit by a falling woman?
No.
Oh, heavy. That's sad.
Yeah.
Thought you were going to say something fun about Steve Buscemi. Now I'm sad.
Rebel Girl says, does anyone else remember the Tough Crowd episode where Colin Quinn has a Let's Make a Deal skit that describes the exact future sequence of events in Iraq? I don't remember that.
I only watched like 4 minutes of that show ever at a time. It wasn't my favorite. I like Colin Quinn generally, but
yeah, I mean,
I liked it when he hosted it.
Sure.
Didn't they got a different host at one point, right?
Did they?
I thought, or maybe not. No, oh no, I'm thinking of a different show.
You're thinking of the Man Show changing hosts seven times? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I did like Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
It was all right.
But
there's just like mostly New York comedians just like talking shit to each
other. Just spending some time. I mean, who are we to shit on it? We're podcasters. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't like a thing where guys just chat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Andy Sell just texted me and said he's on his way.
Well, fuck that. That's a tough sell. But I am more enamored of the conspiracy theory that you should just look up because it's been covered on the internet many times of that card game Illuminati. Correctly predicting 9/11 and the Iraq war and shit.
Oh, no.
It's pretty
compelling.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the Deadly Double, which was a dice game? There was an ad for a dice game in New Yorker magazine the week before Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like these dice that Dungeons and Dragons wasn't a thing at the time. So there was no reason for these dice to have the weird numbers it had on it. And it basically spelled out when Pearl Harbor happened. And there's a Snopes article about it. And they're like, yeah, we talked to the guy who put the ad there, and it's nothing. It was just a game he was thinking of making at some point. Like, so he took out a full-page ad in the New Yorker for a thing that didn't exist yet. And they were like, it's nothing. But also, here's a weird side note. He was in the precursor to the CIA during World War II.
So
he's not going to fucking tell you.
Man, there's more of those than I thought, because there's also the New York crossword puzzle that had all the code words, like Overlord, Omaha, and they had to go interview the crossword puzzle writer, and they proved, they're like, it's just a coincidence, so it's fine, but there was a lot of shit like that.
Nate Beverly says, you guys are fucking wrong! The appropriate ratio of batter to pickle is only achievable in slices. Fuck fried pickles.
And you talked about that on a 9/11 episode?
I think that did come up.
I agree with Nate. I'm a pickle slices fried pickle man.
I don't like
fried
pickles. I like pickles, and I like fried foods, but I don't like the combination.
I'm all the above.
I don't like the salty sour, I guess. I don't know. Matthew Coffey says, in Korean, dong means shit. Yeah. All right.
I mean, around my house, that's what it means.
Good.
We have more in common than I thought.
Good to know. Cheesy says, man, Sonic is trash besides their drinks. Tommy's is where it's at.
I thought he meant Sonic the Hedgehog, and I was literally going to rip the microphone apart.
Sonic the restaurant.
Fine. I got no beef with Cheesy.
I like Sonic the restaurant a whole lot.
Never been.
Really? Yeah, they're not. There's not a lot in California.
Yeah. There are now a few, but growing up there was zero. Like, you had to go to Nevada, I think.
Really in, like, the Cincinnati area where I grew up either. And, like, their commercials are so ubiquitous that I'd be like, why?
Yeah,
like,
commercials are everywhere.
Right. They aired nationally, and you would, like, Google, where is a Sonic? It's like 400 miles away. Well, then why are you showing me food from it that I want now? Come on.
They have the best tater tots. Tater tots are really good. I like their burgers.
Their loyalty to Pebble Ice and UCB Comedian Improv in their commercials wins me over.
Yeah, yeah. Those two have been doing those commercials for a long fucking time. What's everyone's thoughts on Tommy's?
Mediocre.
I don't like Tommy's.
It's like, you're just...
Chili cheese fries are good,
chili on the burger. I feel like that's just gross. Like,
they have that chili that's like at least 95% just ground beef, and it's like a bright red paste.
Right.
I can like sometimes.
This is going to sound weird. I think they put too much chili on. Like, they're too proud of their chili.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, your hot dog's under there somewhere. Like, I want to be able to hold the fucking thing and eat it and not have to like have 15 fucking napkins. And also, it's outdoors.
Yeah,
and pigeons are
indoors.
A fucking thing.
It also always trips me out, and I don't like the feeling. When I go to a Tommy's, I can't help but think about the fact that their logo is a picture of a Tommy's with a logo, which is a picture of a Tommy's with a logo. Like, they have the only recursive logo that I'm aware of.
I like that.
I'm not there for that.
No, I'm into that. Philip Bennington says, just so you all know, my city of Venice, Florida trained the 9/11 hijackers. Come to Florida! I literally just realized typing this out that Florida ruined a lot of things in the 2000-2001 era.
All right, that's a solid comment. I don't know why was that on the bad. Is this all bad comments?
No.
I saw a picture.
No, I exaggerate when I say your shitty fucking comments. No, I'm just reading comments.
I thought they nailed it.
Someone whose name I don't recall tweeted today something that got a chuckle out of me, which was a photo of a USA Today interview. Like, they do little sections where they interview regular people. And they asked this woman, why'd you move to Florida? And she said, I threw a dart at a map and it fell in the trash.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah, that is a good line.
And she frowned for her photo, of course.
I did not know that. Was it like an official, like, did the city get budget money? And they were like, hey, we got these hijackers we need trained. And Venice, Florida just got the contract.
Than that. Yeah. I think he means that's where they did flight school.
The flight school, yeah. I think weren't some of them in Minneapolis, too?
Not sure. Maybe United 93.
I need
guys
to check my trading
Pentagon
cards and see.
Yeah.
9/11, the trading. Remember Desert Storm?
Yeah, they had totally.
That was like, man,
Osama
they had that
was on a card.
Produced. They were like, we're going to have fucking trading cards. Everybody had cool names and shit.
Yeah, that was.
Chemical Ali was the Queen of Hearts because everyone just fell for him when they got close.
Yeah, that was. Scenario. That was an interesting time where they were trying to like make war like football.
I think it's an interesting time now where Jim from The Office thinks he's the one to relive all of that. This makes no sense to me with the Jack Ryan. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I tried to watch an episode and it does really feel like Jim from The Office.
Like he's just trying to, like in a Halloween costume. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And last comment. Elliot Farmer says, I hate you for making this funny, the funniest goddamn Unpops episode yet. I was laughing so hard, I almost 9/11'd my car.
Ooh, flying car.
Yeah. You're going to have to kill a lot of people with that car to legitimately 9/11 it. That's a bold claim, sir. But that's our episode. Thank you both so much for being here.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Can I mention one thing?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do plugs and things. Or do you mean something from this?
No, this isn't really a plug, so I didn't really know where to put it. But a lady came out to my show because she heard me on your podcast.
And woo! Nice.
Dayton, Ohio. I think her name was Zoe. I can't promise that that's her name. But
oh, that's awesome.
She came out with her dad, so I couldn't really work any games.
Thank you, Zeitgang.
It's hard to be like, what are you doing later in front of somebody's dad? But she was cute.
Oh, I assumed you were asking the dad. What are you up to later? Can you ditch her?
I made out with a girl at a U2 concert, and she was there with her dad.
Man.
We were in the, like, it was floor, like, general.
Hey,
like,
Pops, get a look at this.
Standing floor, and it was packed.
Uh-huh.
So eventually, like, we got separated, and my friend who came with me was, like, like 15 feet away, kind of trapped with her dad. And I was, like, deeper in the crowd, just making out with his daughter so fucking hard.
The first time I ever made out
and it was amazing.
Touched breast was in the back seat of my dad's car as he drove us home from LA to San Diego.
Nice.
Constantly one eye on the rearview mirror, one eye on the boobies.
Good times.
I also, before
I'm
we move
becoming
on,
a man back here.
Just as proof the context is everything, how different would it have been if they said I Charlottesville'd my car? And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm thinking as a comedian how, like, South Park did that episode where they say it's 22 years or whatever. Like, that timing thing is weird for me.
Oh, yeah.
How come he can make that joke? I don't know.
9/11 jokes. Come on.
Hey, you brought me the fuck down. I'm bringing you the fuck down.
Listen to our last episode. It was all a 9/11 joke.
Yeah, I buy it.
All right. What do we have to plug before we get out here? Patreon.com/unpops. You get all kinds of bonus shit for $5 a month. You get all our episodes ad-free, so that's nice. Go sign up for that. And also, last Saturday of every month, we do a live episode at the Hollywood Hotel. This month, it's September 29th, and I don't know who's on it yet, but we'll figure it out. Dave, what do you got to plug?
Nothing really. I think I'm going to be in Chicago next month. It's on my website. I don't know when this is going to be.
Where are you doing in Chicago?
The Comedy Bar.
Nice.
And then, I don't know, if people just, they can go to my website, DaveWaitComedy.com, and they can just, they just can email me
just
if they want.
Just have a chuckle.
If they got any idea.
Get in touch. Get in touch
personal questions.
Yeah. If you would.
Swaim, what do you got?
I'm on Twitter at Swaim_CORP. Our network's at patreon.com/smallbeans. Or if you don't feel like giving us money, just go on your phone and look for Small Beans on your podcasting app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tight.
All right. Let's get out of here. Swaim, say goodbye.
Bye, Swaim. And don't call me Shirley.
Dave, say goodbye.
Later, dude.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Objects of